And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of February 9th, 2022. The latest carbon dioxide levels on the globe are 419.33 parts per million. There are 2,883 days left until 2030. Anyway, things are, as always, moving forward here in Massachusetts. There's recently been a couple of policy changes and improvements that have been released, and we want to talk about those. We will be basically cribbing from excellent articles published in the Boston Globe under a new heading called Into the Red. It's devoted to climate coverage. And the two of the several reporters are Sabrina Shankman and Darna Noor. I urge you to go to the Globe website, check out the coverage, follow these reporters because they are doing a good job. And they've reported on improvements in the solar policies of the state and in the MassSave program, which we'll talk about. But I think that perhaps the value add of discussing these two policies together is to put them into context, because they do make sense. And they are part of a continuing narrative that climate activists in Massachusetts would do well to follow, a narrative that will go on for the next 8 to 10 years. And if that is the implementation of the roadmap legislation, landmark roadmap legislation that was passed and signed into law in Massachusetts a year ago. So let's just begin with that. Massachusetts has a pretty good history of different kinds of climate legislative accomplishments. And the latest here in the state was a year ago, where a roadmap, a bona fide roadmap with pretty good teeth, was passed into law that set aggressive goals for carbon reduction in the year 2030 and then by the year 2050. And it laid out a lot of ways to achieve that goal. The things we're talking about today are just a couple of the many different initiatives, shall we say, under that roadmap. But I think that the context here is that we talk about these things that have been recently released as small cogs in the bigger machine that is formulating our climate policy for the state, right? And so we can take out of these initial attempts to implement this policy, we can take lessons from it, right? And it's important to keep in mind that the roadmap that was passed a year ago is not some final thing that never has to be changed. The roadmap has goals and techniques, but those goals and those techniques need to be translated into practical regulation by the executive branch. And that means places like the Department of Public Utility and the Division of Energy Resources all need to be part of the ongoing program that's putting together the reality of the state's roadmap. So basically, they're turning the will of the legislature, right? These executive branch departments are turning the will of the legislature into real action, right? That's good. But point being that it's an ongoing process. So what are the two things that happened recently? Well, let's start with the good news, right? So, well, the good news is that it begins with something called MassSave. So a long, long time ago, the state of Massachusetts, maybe 10 years ago, state of Massachusetts initiated a program called MassSave. You probably have seen it floating around different kinds of advertisements. It's a program run by the utility, right? And mass save is essentially an effort to get to people's homes, individual homes, and help them weatherize or improve their energy efficiency and therefore burn less fuel and create less carbon pollution, right? That is a noble thing, although you can even from the beginning begin to wonder whether or not the utilities should be running a program that aims at suppressing the sale of their product. Okay, put that aside for the moment. The utilities are the most convenient way to run the Mass Save program. But basically, the Mass Save program allows, the Mass Save program is funded by a small charge on your utility bill. You can look it up, right? It's there on the bill, hidden in the fine print. Money goes into this fund. The utilities maintain companies that will send a person to your home to do what's called an energy assessment, look around, see if there are places that you could use insulation, you know, weather sealing, all kinds of good things, right? That program's been around for a while, but in the roadmap bill that was passed a year ago, the state legislature basically committed an enormously large sum of money, something like $4 billion over 25 years or something, or $4 billion to help residents fix up their homes, basically. And not only that, they changed the priorities of Mass Save, the Mass Save program, to say that instead of just helping people weatherize, Mass Save will help people get off of natural gas, get off of oil. That is to say, if you want to put in a heat pump, the Mass Save program will help you do that. And so that's the new thing. It turns out it took the Department of Public Utilities a fair amount of time to pull all that stuff together, to think it all through. You can ask how come it took that long, but what the heck, right? This took them a while. They promulgated this program. It's good, but all these things could be critiqued. The program, if you make less than 60% of the median income in the state, you can essentially replace your heater in your home for free. I mean, that's a good deal. That's a good thing, right? If you're a renter now, you can, and you get the approval, you know, you work with your landlord, but if you're a renter, you can arrange to have weatherization done in your apartment, and this Mass Save program will essentially pay for most, if not all, of that. So those are good things. These are noble efforts by the by the Mass Save program that's been redirected to try and cut down fossil fuels. Some of the complaints about this rewriting of the Mass Save program is that they still are giving out incentives for people to put efficient, shall we say, natural gas systems into the house. So you can still get a rebate for installing a gas furnace in your house, even though that's pretty much at odds with all of the science about what should be going on. It's also true that the Mass Save rewrite has gotten some criticism for not taking more clearly into account the fact that environmental justice communities need more help than most. And I guess again, in summary, we're saying that the Mass Save program, the executive branch of the state has changed the Mass Save program to abide by what the legislature wants to do. It's taken a long time, could be better, but that's why we have a democracy, to push back on these things. One of the things that the regulators say, both in this instance and in the next one we're going to talk about, is that there are certain laws written by the legislature that force the inclusion of certain policies. That is to say, under the Mass Save program, I guess the state legislature has said that all cost efficient methods have to be included somehow, right? I don't know what the exact language is, but basically there's some loophole that forces Department of Public Utilities to continue to offer incentives for natural gas plants and natural gas furnaces, even though we know that's not the right thing to do. And so you get a little hint there that within the context of implementing the state's roadmap that's going to go on for 10 years, this is an area that we can improve things by clearing away some of the bureaucratic traps that the agencies stumble upon as they try and implement the roadmap. Of course, it's also, I think it's fair to say that the since the Department of Public Utilities has for a long time been regulating the gas industry, there's a lot of ties between the DPU and the gas industry, which is natural. I mean, they both have always been working towards kind of a common goal. But this also makes you wonder how much sympathy there is at the DPU for the people that are getting cut out, basically the gas suppliers, right, that are getting cut out by all these policies. Anyway, so point being, there's an improvement, big improvement to the Mass Save program, right? This is how we are going to retrofit 1 million homes by the year 2030, right? This is one of the tools that we have. If you want to get in on the program, no matter what your income level, you can call. We'll put the number in the blog posting, but the number is 866-527-SAVE. You can schedule an appointment to bring a technician to your home to evaluate, to assess what you might benefit from. And that's a good way to save money. Good thing. Right? Good program, could be made better, and that's how it stands. And the other program that came up this week was similarly something that had existed before the new roadmap law was passed. It has to do with solar panels, the installation of solar panels. And again, it is a program that is funded by a small charge on your utility bill, right? You pay it, you're entitled to participate in this thing. That charge, that money is sent to a program called SMART, which is an acronym for Solar Massachusetts MA Renewable Targets, SMART, which basically helps funding solar projects across the state. What the legislature in its wisdom did was to essentially double the size of that program. Right, because we know we need lots more solar panels all around the state. So we're going to have a bigger SMART program to try and encourage more people to install solar. And you would think at first blush that it's pretty simple, right? You're just essentially doubling the size of the program. You're not really changing much on it. But evidently, this policy went into the Department of Public Utilities mill and got stuck for a year while the DPU went round and round about how to implement this doubling of the scope of the program. And of course, in the meantime, lots and lots of solar projects got stalled, and they had the opportunity to look to other states to make money, right? Because they're all the solar installers will go look somewhere else, right? Anyway, recently that program finally popped out of the DPU and is now running, right? The complaint is that why did it take a year to promulgate, I guess the word is, to publish this policy that is essentially a simple doubling of an existing policy? And what are the implications for the more complex policies that the DPU is going to have to address going forward? Well, it gets much more contentious. I mean, there's going to be a lot more solar programs than what's covered in this SMART program, right? And how, you know, if it takes a year to do this simple thing, what's going to happen when things get complicated, especially given that the clock keeps ticking? So, again, in defense, the DPU says in its defense that, you know, this went through the regular routing. There are provisions in the existing law they had to satisfy, blah, blah, blah. One would hope that the legislature would assist the executive branch in more enthusiastically taking on the challenge of getting us off fossil fuels, because, right, this just can't go into the queue and wait its turn like all the other sort of little projects. Right? This is a crisis that we have to face. So there are those two programs that have come up. They are good. They're a step in the right direction. They are implementing the roadmap for the state. The observation from the implementation of these programs is that we climate activists need to pay close attention to what's happening at the executive branch. Make sure they stay on track. Make sure they do the right thing, and to not accept half measures on the part of the bureaucracy, right? Basically, to make it easier for that bureaucracy to do the right thing. So there you go. That's these two new programs in what I think is the context, which is the decade-long march of the implementation of the roadmap to get us to a clean energy future. It's not going to end here. I'm sure we will be back to discuss these sorts of topics again soon, but that's the story thus far. Anyway, we'll put up links to these articles on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about the show or suggestions, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. You're listening to us probably on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. We're on almost all of them, although we should note that we dropped off of Spotify, at least until they can get their act together. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.